Shalom to all the WHK listeners tonight, and Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on 1220 AM locally or WHKWradio.com. Christian Radio, my name is John Bartlett, your co-host and our teacher. Sheila Crawford is here, as always, so faithful. So get your paper, pen, and Bible. Get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word. Let's invite the Lord with us tonight. Our Father in heaven, help us to learn from our trials that many of us are going through right now, and help us to learn from them so that we can trust you, because you work in our lives for the good. May your will be done tonight at the presidential debates. May the outcome be what you want, and that help us to be content no matter what the outcome. Lord, you hold our country and the direction of our country in your hand. We lift up all the prayer requests that came in this week in the mail. Please answer them in your mercy. And now be with us as we minister your word tonight, live on the radio, in the name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And may I say, you as well, John, are very faithful. You know, even when you're feeling a little under the weather, you just push forward, and God always gives you what you need to accomplish his will.
He really does.
I know he does.
And you know how often
I see you before the show, and then I see you during the show. He's a great and awesome God.
He is, and it's a very great and awesome responsibility to, you know, be here and be representing him and his word in prophecy.
A true privilege.
Yeah, it is a privilege, exactly.
By the way, in case you didn't know it, John Bartlett is the music director for Shofar Assembly. And the next one is in 2 weeks, so mark your calendars for November 2nd at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland. And by the way, it's the first Friday of every month.
We had a great time last week.
We did.
Yeah, we had new songs.
Well, it was Feast of Tabernacles. We had the flags and the dancing and the tambourines.
We did. We were rejoicing in the Torah, and it was fun.
We really
had fun. Melanie Pierce was out.
Yes.
And, of course, she's a great singer, great keyboard player, great musician.
Yeah. So I hope you'll come out sometime and let us get to know you. It's only once a month. You can drive a little further.
Yeah. But if you can't, we're always right here.
That's right. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And, by the way, I just do want to tell everyone that I truly enjoy being here, and I enjoy sharing gold nuggets of our Judeo-Christian truths, especially on eschatology. And did you ever realize that nobody's calling it Judeo-Christianity anymore?
No, they're not.
You know, they kind of dropped off the first part.
Uh-huh.
So,
there's a reason for that.
I'm sure.
And it's not a good reason.
It's not
either.
A good reason. But mm-hmm. I've been teaching Hebraic roots now for about 25 years. And I keep telling them that Jesus was Jewish in the beginning when I was doing this. And so many people kept saying, oh, yeah, you're right.
I know. I remember your husband would ask a question like, he'd say, name one good Jewish book, and everybody would be scratching their heads, and he'd said, hold up his Bible and say, how about this one?
Yeah.
So in other words,
I remember that.
So what we do, and what you do, I guess I should say, what I learned here, is that the Old Testament prophets, and then our first century Christian forefathers who taught, and they were mostly Jewish,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they became believers in Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And I want to remind you, too, that you can listen to any of the past shows that we do by just going to our webpage, shofarministries.net.
That's right. You can fast forward through the news, and there's a wealth of information, and each show is labeled as to the topic that we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Very easy to get to. I use the website myself.
Yes. Well, I do, too. That's why I go back home. Now, I know I taught on that. What was that about?
You're sure you wanted to share that?
Well, yeah. I can't remember everything. Anyway, tonight I have some in-time Bible questions that have come in the mail and the email. And it's been mostly on Israel. And I'd like to answer some of those. And so we thought it might even be nice to have the whole hour open to your questions out there as well. If you don't want to be heard on the air, because a lot of people are shy, our producer, Derek, will take your question over the phone, and then he'll give it to me. So, John, please give them the number to call once again.
Okay, I'd be happy to. It's 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Remember to keep the questions limited to about the end times or Israel. I guess we will field an Israel question because we are in the last days. And not a lot of information is getting out there, especially in the local churches, on this extremely important topic.
But some are, I understand, and I encourage you to seek them out. And if you do attend a born-again congregation that biblically teaches on the end times, email me and give us the name and the town, because I often get asked where one can go for that kind of teaching. So let me know, because I'm putting a list together. And I want to be able to help others, especially those who don't have a home church.
And sometimes for that reason.
That's correct.
And don't keep it a secret. You know, please share with us if you found a church like that. The church needs to know how truly close we are to the sound of that last trumpet.
That's right.
And before we get any farther here, I've got to ask you the question, and is there news that we should hear about tonight?
I would say so.
Okay. I always get that answer from you when I ask you that.
Actually, one of the questions I received last week was about something very newsworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So can you find that and read that? I think it's right over there. Would you read that, John?
Okay, this is the one that was... Okay, I'll read it. What do you think of Netanyahu, or Benjamin Netanyahu's main objective was in calling for early elections? Okay, in other words, he wanted... they were supposed to occur October. He wanted to bump them up to January of next year.
That's right.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, I believe it's a twofold. First of all, it's a budget cuts. He's got to make some budget cuts. And if he is going to do the cuts and then run for re-election, that might be a problem.
Yeah, no one likes budget cuts.
No,
especially
so
if they're cutting
this way he can have the election held in January and then do the budget cuts.
Mm.
And the other one is, and again, not necessarily in this order, but a possible surgical attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. You know, Netanyahu knows he's going to be reelected, okay? The majority believe he's done a great job, especially with the economy, and even though more cuts are going to have to be made, and that won't be real popular, but he also can't be campaigning if he's in a war. So I think number two is possibly the surgical attack. Now, when I say surgical, I mean really hone in on just the nuclear facility, and such as not killing anybody else mm-hmm. or anyone other than maybe right there. But
and they have the weapons to do that.
Yes, that's what I understand.
And it doesn't matter that how far under the ground it is, apparently.
It's just amazing to me. I can't even fathom what we do.
We have bunker busting bombs nowadays, and they're smart bombs, and mm-hmm. They all the force is directed downward, and they'll collapse any underground structures. And really, pretty. It's the 21st century warfare, and it's very, very.
Yes, and if
impressive.
We get a new president, I'm sure that they will. The new president will go along with that because he does love Israel.
Yes, he does.
Now, I do want to go on to say that Iran is already on Israel's borders. Now, that might scare a little some people, but they already have stationed the elite, most powerful Al-Quds brigades of its Revolutionary Guards on two of Israel's borders, Syria and Lebanon. Now, they say it's to help Assad fight the rebels. And it is helping to some extent. But in a sense, these rebels, which, by the way, are the Muslim Brotherhood in disguise, along with some Al-Qaeda.
No.
is right now in a war with Syria and Iran. They are really right there.
They are right there. And that's startling when you put it that way. Well, how convenient for mm-hmm. Iran to have its own men right next door to Israel.
Its own
Just
men,
funny
yeah.
the way that worked out that way.
Yeah.
Like that, huh?
And then, of course, don't forget they're... Hamas and Islamic Jihad is the newest ones that are in there in the Gaza Strip. Now, that's over on the west side of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tens of thousands of new rockets that have been recently sent from Iran.
Yes.
And they flew right over, too, because we're not in Iraq anymore. So they have free airspace.
That's
how,
right.
How convenient.
How convenient that,
is.
That we exited Iraq
exactly.
at the time that we did.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the United States has also sent troops to the northern Jordanian border next to Syria, so to help, against Assad.
Oh, so, yeah, we are officially against Assad, our country, correct?
Well, because he wants the Muslim Brotherhood in there.
Okay.
You know, nobody's ever good. I mean, I'm not going to say that any of the guys are really great.
Yeah.
You know, but to go from not well to very not well is not good.
You mean Assad? You're talking about,
yeah, at least he didn't attack, you know, basically a little bit through Hezbollah. I realize that.
I know,
but still in all.
He didn't declare war on
Israel. Not like
Israel.
The Muslim Brotherhood are going
to
do.
Yeah, he had, if not a peace treaty, they had an understanding.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so did Mubarak.
Yeah, that's true, but we threw him under the bus.
And so did Libya.
Yep.
I mean, it's really crazy what's gone on in the last 2 years.
It has. It's startled people that don't know anything about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
They're startled to
and
see
so
things
fast.
Like that.
It's
so
just
fast.
Happening so fast.
I know. That's why we think if our president, current president, stays and gets reelected, that just might make things move faster.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we're still in a dilemma. I know what you're thinking out there. Well, if Obama gets in, the church is going to be out of here quicker, because I am definitely a pre-trib rapture person, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am just going to be content with whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to vote for Romney because, and I have some reasons why down as we get into the show tonight.
I have a really good reason for voting for him.
You're going to steal it, aren't you?
No.
No.
My reason is that he's the only other choice.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's better. Okay, I got it. But anyway, this is a real disheartening bit of news that I'm going to tell you next. Last week I read that the leaders of 15 so-called Christian church religious organizations, I've thrown in the word religious in there, sent a letter to Congress demanding that military aid to Israel be scrutinized because of what they called Israel's mistreatment of the Palestinians. And as Christians, I just can't believe they're opposing Israel and want the United States to stop supporting the Jewish state. It is no wonder the Jews are fearful of trusting our Jesus, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah.
And, I mean, I know this is a mainline and not a born-again group, but I wish they would relinquish the title of Christian.
Yeah, maybe they could call themselves the Self-Righteous Religious Church.
Yeah, that would be good.
The Church of the Self-Righteous.
That's right. You know, the thing about the Palestinians, Israel is not oppressing them by any means,
nor
tormenting them. In fact, their own brothers are doing that, the Palestinians.
That's right.
You know, we should really be telling the truth to everybody that'll listen, but just think of past history, the horrible atrocities, the inquisitions, the pogroms, the Holocaust, of course,
mm-hmm.
and they've been carried out by people who claim to be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this painful history, many of the Jewish people believe that Christians hate them, and actions like this simply reinforce
That idea that, yeah, when something like this happens, it just reinforces that old,
yes, it
that
does.
Old mistrust. And of course, they have every reason to.
Now, I do recognize that finally, in fact, I know that from the time that I went over to Israel, that they do know the difference between the evangelicals. But I have to tell you,
mm-hmm.
some that are calling themselves evangelicals now are still supporting the Palestinians. It's starting to turn with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
The big mega churches, the emergent church, and this and that. But when I was there, which was the first time, was many years ago, and I remember him, when I say him, the tour guide, getting on the bus and introducing himself and then asking each one of us what church we belong to.
Oh, my
yes.
God. Now, you don't do that in America.
No, but he did. And when I said Assemblies of God, because that's where I was from at that time, he said, ah, you love Israel. So he recognized who the
evangelicals
were.
And this was an Israeli. This was a Sabra, somebody that
was
born
there. This
was
a Jewish tour guide.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. But you can't say that hardly anymore today even because, again, the evangelicals are calling themselves that and they're still...
Well, in this horrible, this letter that was sent to Congress, I guess. Do you care to mention the denominations?
Actually, there are a group, mainline churches, and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I didn't write them down.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to call anyone out on the carpet tonight, are we?
Anybody can find it. It's certainly on the net and things like that. But it's just appalling to me. In fact, I'm more upset about that than I am about Iran, because God will take care of Israel. But what a heartache for my own people, Christianity, to say Israel is mistreating them when just the opposite is true.
And they believe in a Jewish...
These organizations say they believe in Jesus and that he was Jewish. It's just mind-boggling, and that's part of our conversation tonight, too, John. I want to get some scriptures about God giving Israel a particular piece of land and also giving the Arabs their land as well. In fact, more so.
The Arabs got a lot of land.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had to point this out, and maybe you've probably read this already, but... there's at least three major papers, and one was the liberal Huffington Post, and they are reporting that actually Barack Obama's ring that he's been wearing for quite some time, and even before he was married, has an Arabic writing on it declaring there is no God but Allah. And so it really is the same ring. According to the pictures, he was wearing it during his college days, and he's wearing it again now, so evidently... when they got married, he just gave it to Michelle, and she put it back on his finger.
The same ring?
Yes. That's what they're saying. Hmm. I'll tell you, it just keeps getting worse and worse. It really does. And the other question, which is why I wanted to wait, because this was actually an email I received last week and asked for, the question that I've been dealing with for quite some time with not only myself but with others, that is, as a Christian, can we really vote for a Mormon? And I have to say that I realize that the question should actually be, does he love Israel?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because I know you were having a little struggle with that.
I did. For a little while
I had
a struggle, but I realized that I'm not voting for a pastor. I'm voting for a political figure, and how they treat Israel is how God is going to bless America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious now that B.O. does not like Israel, and I happen to know that Romney does. Pretty passionately, I understand, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of our presidents, they say they're Christian. And
I know.
They even say they're born again. And you see them do things that, how could he do that if he's Christian?
Yeah. Well,
and the bottom line is, we should all know this, we're older now, but that politicians will say pretty much anything.
No, really, John?
Yes, they will. Anything. If they'll say they believe in the tooth fairy if they think we'll get them elected.
But I was also reminded that during the tribulation in Matthew 25, one of the criteria of the sheep and goat judgment will be how they treated the Jews. So I thought, okay, that said enough for me. And remember, Genesis 12:3 says, whoever blesses Israel, I will bless. Amen?
Amen. And that's very true.
One's a socialist and one's a capitalist. So take your pick.
And they're all Christians. We're all Christians. I like that.
So there. All right. And just today.
I'm sorry. Derek's offended. I didn't know he believed in the tooth fairy. He's giving me dirty looks. Our producer.
Oh, be silly. Okay, and just today, more confirmation of just how our government feels concerning Israel. Once again, the Obama administration reiterated its position that Jews must not be allowed to build and live on their ancient biblical heartland for the sake of peace in the region, even though the West Bank, which is actually Judea and Samaria, is still being disputed. It's not a done deal. But Jews aren't allowed to build there, but Palestinians can, and they do. Obama continues to put extreme pressure on Israel to give up Judea and Samaria and share their capital, Jerusalem, with the worshipers of Allah. From the moon god, by the way, Baal, and to me, it's just another name for Satan, and I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
And that is the truth, and that's why Obama wears that ring. Because inscribed on it is, there is no God but Allah.
That's what they say it says.
Well, that's what they say.
I don't read Arabic, but I'm just telling you what the papers are reporting.
I don't either, but I looked at the pictures, and the ring definitely says something.
It does say something.
Yes, it does.
How could they say it said something if it didn't say something?
Well,
I mean, anybody could read it that knows Arabic.
Well, I believe the pictures I looked at were in the Huffington Post, and they're a liberal paper.
I know.
And they would have every reason not to want this to be.
Unless they want a Muslim in office. I don't know.
Maybe they do.
Anyway. So tonight we have scriptures confirming who the land belongs to. And please remember, again, as I said before, God gave much more land to the Arabs. And they inhabit that as well, but they hate the Jews and want them to have nowhere to lay their heads.
Yeah. And make sure that, like, I want to remind everyone, make sure you have a paper and pen. You'll want to jot these scriptures down and look it up in your Bible later, because these are important scriptures.
And underline them.
Underline them and have them handy when people ask you why you support Israel.
That's right.
And I'll say this. People ask me, you know, why I'm a Zionist. I said, I am a Zionist because God is one.
That's right.
My God is a Zionist.
And if somebody asks you, well, what makes your Bible so important that you believe that it's truth? And I always tell them it's the only religious book in the world that has predicted events way ahead before they ever happened.
Mm-hmm. And these events have come to pass to the day.
And to the T.
And to the T.
A jot and tittle as well.
Yes.
And there's no other religious book that can do that. None.
None. None.
So that's why I believe the Bible is written by God through man.
Yes.
But I do.
I do too.
So if you have a comment or a question on these end days, remember you can call us at 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. And we're going to be right back after our own John Bartlett's wonderful ballad he wrote about a sparrow who God takes care of. So we know he'll take care of us. Oh, even if Barack Obama is reelected.
Okay, stay tuned.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song by John Bartlett.
That's you.
That's me.
Great song.
Great song that the Lord helped me to write. And
that's right.
Yes. I just, like my friend says, I just download them. I say, how can you write so many good worship songs? She goes, I just download them. God sends them, gives them to me, and I download them in my...
In the head.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, welcome back, and be sure to check out our webpage now, all you listeners. Our newsletters and previous radio shows are all there, archived, for you to find. And you'll be happy when you find them.
Because right.
We have teaching DVDs, too. You can actually see our teacher, Sheila Crawford. And just like you were out there at Chester Christian Center, just like that.
Which really were, they were, well, two of them were.
Two of them were shot at that location. Okay. Well, we have the phone lines open, and the numbers are 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder that when you do donate to our the Lord's ministry here of teaching our Hebraic roots to our Laodicean lukewarm churches out there and trying to wake them up. This is a great ministry to do that. Your donations are always tax deductible, and we need a lot
but
of
I
them.
Have to say, it's mostly the Church of Philadelphia that listen.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but our mission is to those that are still sleeping. We want to wake you up.
I want to wake them up, but you know what? I can't do it by myself. I need you all out there doing it. So get stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
Learn some stuff and share it.
That's how we say, get the pen and the pencil, or pencil and a paper, and write the stuff down.
Never listen to the show without a pencil and paper in your hand, unless you're driving.
Unless you drive, yeah. And to donate, you can use PayPal on our website, or just send your gift directly if you'd like, to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio. That's Burton spelled B-U-R-T-O-N, in case I don't pronounce it just right. Zip code's 44021. Any donation will put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well if you have one, or regular mail address if you desire to be sent that way. Either way, we hope you will forward it and share it with others. The emails are really good for doing that, because you can forward them so easily.
That's right, you can.
And we'll be back here next Tuesday.
Yes, we will.
At the same time, 8 p.m. every Tuesday on 1220 a.m. and on the net as well, whkwradio.com. And tell a friend about us. Sit down with your paper and your Bible and give us a listen. We'd love to have you with us.
All right. Well, let's get right in. We have quite a few scriptures to give.
Yes, we do.
And I just want to again point out the fact that God gave land to the Jews, and he gave land to the Arabs. He gave land to the descendants of Isaac, and he gave land to the descendants of Ishmael. And these are the scriptures that are going to help prove that when someone should ask you and say, well, the Palestinians deserve to have the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were not giving that land. They were given the land next to Israel.
And they do, don't they? They claim Abraham as their father as well, don't they?
Yes, and they say, well, we're the descendants of Abraham. So this is why this.
And they're not lying.
No, and that's why this next couple of scriptures are very, very important. So I hope you're writing this down. The first one is in Genesis 15:18, and this speaks of the land covenant with Abram. And it's basically, to your descendants, I have given this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Verse 19 and 20 of chapter 17 as well. But before, I'm going to have you read that, John, but I just again want to reiterate where it says to your descendants, that's actually the word Zerah, and it's singular, and it means seed. Not seeds, but seed. to your seed I have given this land. And here's the scope of the land.
I see what you're saying.
From the river of Egypt, which is the Nile River, to the great river Euphrates, and that's way over in Iraq. So now that's all the land, and from far as the eye can see, from east and west as well. So now I want you to read verse 19 and 20 of chapter 17.
Okay. God says, the covenant of the land of Canaan shall be with Sarah's son Isaac, but Ishmael's descendants shall be great.
That's
so
right.
There you go.
Well.
He said, when it was seed, I have to your descendants, I have given this land, and the word was seed. He was talking directly about Isaac there, wasn't he?
Well, that's right. God says the covenant of the land of Canaan shall be with Sarah's son, Isaac.
Yes.
But Ishmael's descendants shall be great as well.
Hmm.
Also, verse 13 of chapter 21, he also promised land to Ishmael's descendants again as well, and they do again have that land, but as I said before, they want all of it.
They want the land that was given to the Jews as well.
That's right.
Much.
So that's to clarify.
You keep looking over there.
I know. I have a question, and I don't know how to answer this one, and maybe, John, you can. It says, have you heard Enrico Quartz?
Got a resounding no on for me. I'm sorry, I have not.
Okay, well, we have a call. Vic in Alliance, are you on the air?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Oh, Vic, yes. I have to be careful because it's a little hard to see these little letters. How are you tonight?
God bless you, sister. I'm wonderful. I just had a quick question for you. Enjoying the program.
Okay.
Thank you.
What is it?
Have you ever heard of, not Enrique, but Rico Cortez? Rico Cortez is spelled R-I-C-O.
Oh, okay.
C-O-R-T-E-S, I believe, is how
Cortez.
You spell
Rico Cortez. Name. Have you heard of him, John?
No,
we haven't.
Hmm.
Well, if we get a chance to, please go to YouTube and just type in the search engine Rico Cortez. Just to give you a heads up, this brother has been tracking Yeshua in the Torah and in some of the Old Testament books, and he is also showing in Genesis and some of the other books where Yeshua is appearing and where the prophetic from, like, you know, where God works out the end from the beginning, and, of course, the beginning from the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of things that you can see in the book of Revelation concerning the beginning. Well, in the beginning, especially in Genesis and some other places, Brother Cortez has gone in and looked at it, and he has a unique view as to the prophetic and what's going to happen in the last days based upon what he sees in there. Now, I'm not an advocate for his ministry or
okay.
You know, anything like that.
Okay.
But since you do such a wonderful job, I thought you might have known about him.
No, I haven't, and I definitely will look him up, and I really appreciate you telling me this, Vic.
Vic, do you say that as, do we have similar ministries, is what you're saying?
Well, Sister takes out a lot of, and forgive me because of my nervousness, but I forgot your first name,
Sheila.
Sheila, thank you. But I'm at work, forgive me, you might hear a little bit of noise in the background.
That's okay.
But you do a wonderful job of bringing nuance out of the Old Testament. And the Father, our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, is bringing out nuance out of the Old Testament. I'll give you just a quick, for instance, we're seeing where when Moses saw the burning bush, the scripture talks about him turning aside to see this great sight, And Yeshua said that he spoke to the people in parables, lest at any moment that they might hear with the ears, see with their eyes, and turn, and I might heal them. So the nuance is there. So what we saw was that when Moses turned, because his father was with him at the same time, when Moses turned to see the great sight, immediately he was in a different dimension.
Hmm.
And the Bible says the father told him to take his slippers off his feet because he was standing on holy ground. That's all.
Okay, well, I really appreciate that, and I will check it out, Vic. I do have another call waiting, so I'm going to say thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye-bye. We also have a caller, Kent, in Ohio. What's your question, Kent? How are you today? Are you there?
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, there you go. We sure can. How are you tonight?
Morning or evening, yes. I had a question about the age of accountability.
Okay. That's a good one. I get that asked that a lot, actually.
And I'm just wondering, does Scripture show anywhere where, with children and everything, when the rapture happens, I'm concerned for my children's sake, and I just wanted to know what your thoughts are or what the Bible has to say, rather.
Okay.
About what is the age that God would consider to, take up into the rapture, even
okay.
if they're maybe not saved or maybe they are saved, but I don't know. What does the Bible say about that? And
sure.
then secondly, I have a second question. In Revelation 12:14,
mm-hmm.
It talks about a time and a times and a half and a time.
Right.
I'm questioning, what does that really mean? Because in the commentary, it doesn't say.
And okay, a time is a year, and then okay. times is 2 years and a half. So it's 3.5 years.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
And as far
is that referring to the tribulation period?
Yes, the second half of the tribulation period.
Second half, okay.
Yeah.
That is prophetic language there.
Yep.
Yes.
But it's definitely 3.5 years, and that's when Israel flees into the mountains.
Okay.
Okay.
And then as far as the first question goes.
Yes, I'm going to answer you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, let's just see if there's children in the tribulation. And everything that I'm going to tell you, I want to show you in Scripture. So I want you to turn to Isaiah 13 if you have time and can get to it. Otherwise, I'm going to turn to it right now and read it for you. But Isaiah 13 is all about the day of the Lord, and that begins in the tribulation period. You've heard my teachings on that over the radio many times, I'm sure. But in verse, let's do 15 and 16. Again, we're in the day of his fierce anger, according to 13. And it says, everyone who's found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children, that's the people in the tribulation, their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. This, of course, is the unbelievers that did not give their hearts to the Lord and chose not to. But the thing about it is, what I wanted to point out to the fact is that there will be children during the tribulation period. And that's contrary to what some have taught, that all children go up in the rapture. That is not the case. There will be children left in the tribulation, but all children that have a parent or a grandparent that are saved and sanctified, the children in that bloodline will go along with them in the rapture. Now, I also want to point out that the children that are left behind because their parents are not saved, when they die, they immediately go to heaven. No child, and I believe, under the age of counting, which I'm going to show you what that is in a minute, will go to hell. Even if there's 15 or 16 and happen to kill their mom and dad, I do not believe that God holds them responsible. There's too many other reasons for it. He is a merciful, merciful God. In the Old Testament, the age of counting, and I'm going to say the age of counting because to me that's a synonym for accountability, was the age of 20. If you have your pencil and paper, write down 1 Chronicles 23:24. Write down Exodus 30:14. Write down Exodus 38:26. And there's more, but I am another one is Numbers 14:29. And basically what you'll see there is that children were not even counted in anything until the age of 20. So when you read these scriptures, it'll help you understand that I believe the age of accountability is 20. Now, people say, oh, no, it's probably 13 because that's when they get their bar mitzvah. But no, that's just a step into puberty. The age of accountability is 20. And praise God for that, mm-hmm. because there's not too many teenagers that make really good decisions all the time, and they might not accept the Lord.
There's not too many 20-year-olds that make good decisions.
So I know.
I got to tell you, he gave me 14 years of grace, if that's the age then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't until I was 34 till I got saved, but
yeah.
Praise the Lord, right?
Well, that's my answer, and I hope that is a good one for you. I'm going to have to let you go because we've got a couple more scriptures I want to get out. But did that answer your question for you pretty good?
Yeah, and one more comment real quick.
Okay.
Matthew 24, mm-hmm. 23, with mm-hmm. respect to the caller before, I just am curious. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there is, do not believe him, in answer to that caller right before.
Yeah, do you think that's what he was saying?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I think he was just personally just giving me an idea of another good teacher perhaps to learn from.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
At least I think so. We'll see. I'm going to check him out anyway.
We have differing opinions on that one, I guess. Huh?
All right, Kent. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening to Shofar Ministries Hour.
Okay.
All right, let's go on to...
I think you did real well with those questions.
Oh, thank you. I knew exactly what... You know, so many times people ask me about children and that, and they get angry at me sometimes, but all I can do is show you scripture, and that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
Right.
Although you think you'd be happier.
Well, then, I know you say, well, you can check it out for yourself.
Exactly.
And that's another part of your goal. And you
now, I do want to also mention, John, that I avoid telling teenagers that. I mean, if they ask me, I have to tell them the truth. But
don't you
like
think they're tortured enough?
If they're 12, 13, or 14, I tell them they got to get saved.
Yeah, they do. I got saved when I was a teenager. But
well,
not just
for salvation, just so that they'll have the power to tell others, to be a witness, to be what God wants them to be. There's other reasons, not just going to heaven.
Actually, teenagers are very good witnesses.
I know. Once they know the truth.
Once they know the truth, I'm telling you, they know how to get the word out.
That's right. Well, they like to be rebels for Christ.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. And they realize that they're in the position of rebel when they do that. So
that's right.
I think teenagers, they could start a tremendous revival.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's do a couple more scriptures. Genesis 26:3. Now, here we've got God is actually speaking to Isaac. He's already talked to Abraham,
mm-hmm.
told Sarah through Abraham that it would be Isaac.
Not Ishmael.
Not Ishmael, but that Ishmael would have descendants and be great
mm-hmm.
and have its own land as well. Now,
here's God speaking to Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 3. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do another one. Genesis 28:13-15. Again, at your home, I hope you're writing these down. You can look them up and underline them in your Bibles later. Now we've got, we had Abraham. Then we had Isaac. Now we've got Jacob as well. And this is just after Jacob's vision of the angels ascending and descending up the ladder to heaven.
Okay. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.
Wow, that's a great promise. And so there you have another generation.
Yes, that's the next generation, and here we're just in Abraham to Isaac and now to Jacob.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, four chapters later in Genesis 35, God actually changes Jacob's name to Israel, which Israel means Prince with God.
Hmm.
So could you read verse 12, and God is speaking to Jacob again.
Yes. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you, and to your descendants after you, I give this land.
So Jacob named the place Bethel, actually in verse 15 of chapter 35, and Bethel is actually in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, that they're trying to take away from them again.
Yes, that's where the promises were made. I want to throw this into you. I did a word study and looked for the word promise in the Bible, and it doesn't exist.
Mm.
All God's word is a promise.
Ah, good point.
All of it is a promise. If he says it, you
if
can,
he says
you
it,
can,
it's done
you can
deal.
Count on it. Yeah. That's why there's no Hebrew word for promise. It's in the Bible. It's just,
that's pretty good.
It's just God's word.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. But he swears, and when God swears an oath,
yes,
you can count on it. When he puts a rainbow in the sky and says he'll never flood the earth again, you can count on that.
Okay.
Cool, huh?
Genesis 48:3-4, we have Jacob now telling his son, Joseph, what God had told him in Canaan. So you see how this just keeps going.
Okay.
Go ahead.
God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.
Everlasting.
Okay. Now, what is it with the word everlasting that we need to understand? Doesn't that mean forever?
Really? Okay, Exodus 3:8, we have God telling Moses how he has heard his people's cry from Egypt's bondage. So see what he says there.
Okay. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good land and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
And all those ites.
And all those ites.
And there's a similar scripture of that in Exodus 6, verses 4 through 8. I think what I'm going to do now is just give the rest of these scriptures without reading them.
So our listeners can just
write them down. Because we're running out of time.
Okay.
And I would have you write down Exodus 32:13. Basically, this one's about Moses reminding God after the golden calf incident, about how he said he's going to multiply the descendants and all that. So,
okay.
And in Exodus 19:6, God declares that the earth is his. However, in Leviticus 25:23, he says the children of Israel may sojourn there and never sell it permanently, let alone just give it away.
Hmm.
Okay? So write that down. Also, Deuteronomy 1:7-8, and this is where we have Moses recalling God's instruction to the children of Israel, where he said, now just go and get it. He says, I set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them their and to their descendants after them. So, and in the latter days, approximately 2,000 years after that long of a dispersion, God said they will again return to their land. And now they are.
And they are.
I'm going to just tell them to write down Isaiah 43:5-6, Isaiah 49:22, Jeremiah 23:7-8, and Jeremiah 16:14-16 all talk about how God is going to bring them back into the land. And he's going to judge the nations for coming against Israel and for dividing up his land and giving it to the worshipers of Allah, the false god. And we read, when we studied Joel a few weeks back, Joel 3:2, that the reason he's going to judge the nations is that because they divided up his land. Also read Ezekiel 36:1-8. It's very good. And we're going to have to stop it there.
Oh, you didn't mention Jeremiah 16:14-16.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, but we don't have time to read it.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to have to close out.
Okay.
And we will be back here next Tuesday, and we'll probably do some follow-up on that and see what else the Lord has in store.
Yes, please join us next week. If you've never sincerely made Jesus Lord over your whole life, because you might just have a head knowledge of him and not really the heart conviction. The Lord says we need to be circumcised in our hearts. And to do that, just get on your knees and repent. Tell God you are a sinner. Admit that you are, that sin is real, and just admit that to him. And that, and if you've been saved, you can turn to him now and get on your knees and just admit the sins that you're still having trouble with. They're weighing you down.
Oh, it's so important to do this, people.
It is, because we are sinners, and I'm telling you, the voice you hear right now is from a sinner.
Mm-hmm. We're all sinners.
We're all sinners, and it does. But I have a choice every day that I can take that sin and I can lay it down at the foot of the cross, and that's what I do, and you can do that and just recommit your life or commit your life, if you've never done, to your Savior, Yeshua. And it's your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. And you know, your soul never dies. It's an eternal thing. So
that's right.
You can decide where your soul will spend eternity. It has to go somewhere.
It's all up to you.
It's all up to you. And believe me, if God could save me, he could save anybody.
We're all in that boat, I'm sure.
I think we are. And I think he takes delight in taking people that really are pretty creepy. And
yeah, usually those are the ones.
Yeah, and
you know, the average person that think they don't need anybody or the Lord, they're the harder ones.
Yeah.
The ones that know they're going to hell that want to get saved.
Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or home group? Just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006. Reminder, we'll be back here next Tuesday, same time, same station, WHKW Radio, 1220.
God willing.
God willing. Any and all donations will put you on our newsletter. Don't forget that. And we do need your help to stay on the air. Airtime is expensive. We're going to leave you with the ironic blessing tonight. Yivrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom till next Tuesday.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.